If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll find Psalm number 56, Psalm 56. And for those of you who are guests with us today, these days at First Baptist Church, we're looking and thinking about this concept that you've seen on the screen today, a potter working the clay. We're thinking about what the Bible has to say about a broken life becoming a blessed life. A broken life becoming a blessed life. Now, that sounds like a contradiction. Doesn't sound like that would be true, but the Word of God teaches us something different. So we're going through book number 2 of the Psalms, and we're looking at a series of the Psalms of David. You know, you can think of these as journal entries in the life of David, as David learned why it is that God was doing what he was doing in his life. Look, some of you here today, you're asking this question today. Why is God allowing what's going on in my life to happen? Why is God doing it? Why is God allowing these things to happen? Well, if we know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we learn something very important very quick. And that is that the God who loves us enough to save us is the God who loves us enough to break us in order to bless us. So that's what we're learning these days. So we read in Psalm 56 these very important words. I'd like for you to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. And we'll look at Psalm 56 and we'll see what's happening in the life of David and his testimony today of how God was using circumstances in his life to bless him and break him. I'm going to begin with the title. The titles of the Psalms are very important. They are also a part of the Psalm. And today this title helps us understand the occasion for why David wrote these words. For the choir director. And then we read these words, and perhaps this was the tune of the song. According to, and then we have three words in the Hebrew language, and not translated, Jonath, Elam, Rehoicham, which means dove, silent in the distant. A miktam of David. The word miktam means something to think about very seriously. So today we gather as God's people, and we're going to think about this serious psalm and song of David. And what is it based on? Well, the title tells us. He wrote these words when the Philistines seized him, captured him in Gath. So with that, now we read David's song. Be gracious to me, O God, for man has trampled upon me. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long. For they are many who fight proudly against me. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can mere man do to me? All day long they distort my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They attack, they lurk, they watch my steps, as they have waited to take my life. Because of wickedness, cast them forth. In anger, put down the peoples, O God. You have taken account of my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I have put my trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Your vows are binding upon me, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, indeed my feet from stumbling, so that I may walk before God in the light of the living. So, Heavenly Father, we stand here gathered together in your presence among one another's fellowship and friendship. And many of us have to stand to say, Lord, we confess, we've done like David. We have made some bad decisions. We have made some bad choices in our life. And we have been captured by those circumstances and situations. And we need your deliverance today. So help us to learn, Lord, in our brokenness, when we've made bad decisions, that you are a God who delivers and that you are a God who is for us. You are for us. May the Holy Spirit help that truth to be true for us in the midst of a world of distraction that we bring into this room today. May my words honor Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So in this journal, in this occasion, David has made a bad mistake. Anybody here ever made a bad mistake? Raise your hand. All right, some of you I need to meet afterwards because apparently you've never made a bad mistake. I need to get some information from you on how to live. Oh, we make bad mistakes. We get ourselves in a pressured situation. We get ourselves in a circumstance. When we're the most hopeless, sometimes we make bad choices. But I want to say this to you. When you're the most hopeless, maybe if you allow God to help you with it, when you're hopeless, that situation may be the best opportunity for you to come back to God. That's all in what you decide to do. So this morning, I want to make several observations from Psalm 56, and I want us to think about this bad choice David made. I'll set it up here, and then we'll follow it along. What did David do? We read it in the title. David went back to the Philistines. He went to the capital of the Philistines, the haters of God, those that were opponents of Israel, those who opposed the king, King Saul, who sent Goliath out to destroy all of the children of Israel. David goes back to Gath. What in the world was he thinking? David, the king of Israel, in Gath. Something's gone wrong. Well, in David's running and hurrying, by the way, I must mention this, so from Psalm 51 to about Psalm 60, these are the psalms we're going to be looking at, from Psalm 51 to Psalm 60, we have 5 years of David being hunted down by King Saul in order for him to be killed by the king. 5 years. That's a long time. 5 years. To be hunted. To be pursued every day. All day long. So David has an excuse. He's under pressure. Somebody wants to kill him. So he's running from place to place. He's hiding in the forest. We're going to see next week he's hiding in a cave. We see him now running to the city of the enemy, the city of sinners, the city of the wicked, Gath. Gath's not a good place to go. So what do we learn? Number one, we realize here in Psalm 56, David sings this song of praise. God delivered him, listen, from captivity, from bondage, when he was foolish. This is my question. Have you ever made a foolish decision in your life? Of course you have. So we read these amazing words, words that are shocking to us, 1 Samuel 21:10. Then David arose and fled. He ran that day from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. David ran to Gath. He ran to a place of danger. Have you ever left security? You've panicked and you've run back to a place of danger? He ran from one enemy to the city of another enemy. Have you ever run back to the enemy? You think to yourself, here's what you think. God hasn't helped me like I thought he ought to, so I think I'm just going to go back. What value has there really been in me following God? For all of my commitment to follow Jesus, this is what I've gotten. He leaves, he runs, and ends up in Gath. He runs from He runs from King Saul to an evil people who hated him. David forgot the words of Psalm number 1. May I read it to you? Listen, blessed is the man or woman who does not do three things. Here's the blessing. Listen, you want to be blessed? You want to be blessed? Listen, don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. Don't stand in the path of sinners. And don't sit. Oh, this is so interesting. Don't sit in the seat of a scoffer. You know, scoffers like to sit. I've got my chair here. Scoffers like to sit, not stand. Because scoffers have too much to scoff about to stand. In the city of Gath, there was the counsel of the wicked. In the city of Gath, there were the paths of sinners. In the city of Gath, there was the seat of the scoffer. Going back, going to Gath, running to Gath. What was David thinking? Running to Gath. And you looked in the mirror the other day and you said, what was I thinking? It happens to us all. It happens to us all. Because in the brokenness of our life and in the struggles and situations we face, in our brokenness we sometimes do foolish things that we live a lifetime with regret about those foolish decisions. Well, David ran to a place of wickedness, sin, and scoffing called Gath, and the brokenness of his sin. You see, David wasn't trusting God when he was running. Are you listening? He wasn't trusting God when he was running. We learned a couple of weeks ago what he said in the psalm when he learned about running. He learned the words of the blessed. Here's what the blessed say: I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I'm going to be planted. I'm not going to run. I want to ask you a question, my friend. Are you running today? What are you running from? Are you running from foolish decisions? Are you running from bad choices? Well, secondly, I want you to see this. God delivered David from bondage when he was powerless. So look, here's what we read. We read these words, these odd, strange words in the title. Jonath, Elim, Rehoicham. These strange words. This is another tongue to us. This is Hebrew. The Hebrew tongue. Which simply means the silent dove in distant places. The picture here, I think, is the picture of David. Psalm 56 is a description of the innocent dove that was captured by the enemy and how God delivered him and freed him. But oh, I want us to pause for a minute. We never take enough time. This is a miktam of David. This is a psalm that requires thought and consideration. You got to put your brain to work for a minute. Why would David say this? His foolish decision led him to describe his condition like a silent dove in a distant place. He didn't describe an eagle. He didn't describe some kind of a fierce bird that could attack. He describes himself as a silent, innocent dove in a distant place. Listen, when you go back to Gath, you find yourself in a place you ought not to be, Christian friend. Among people that you should not be with. Doing things you shouldn't be doing. Like a silent dove in a distant place, a dove all alone. An innocent dove, a defenseless bird. Defenseless, a dove. Silent, no prayer here in Gath. No words from God in Gath. No counselors. And in a distant place. You know, the old hymn said it best. I wandered far away from God. Anybody in the house ever wandered far away from God? Preacher's going to raise his hand. I've wandered far away from God. You got to listen to me this morning. Don't be distracted. This is very important. God has something to say to you. I made a foolish decision. I went to Gath, and all of a sudden I'm way over here rather than being right here where God wants me to be. In the middle of being chased by my life. The king's after me, but I'm going to make my own choices. I'm going to fix things my own way. And so in foolishness, he goes back to the king of Gath. And now he finds himself in this defenseless, homeless, separated place from all who care about him. He's in bondage. You know, we've got some police officers in our church, and I highly respect our police officers, and I know you do too. Well, Troy Martin's one of our police officers. Now, you know, I got to tell you, when I see Troy coming, I always think, okay, am I good? Did I do anything wrong? I would not want Troy to put those handcuffs on me. Because if I see Jerome coming, I'm thinking, well, you know, I want to be good. I don't want Jerome to put those handcuffs on me. I don't want to be seized and put in a place where I have no power. When you go back to Gath, you go back to bondage. And Jesus came. Did we not just hear those beautiful words? The blood of Jesus has cleansed us and set us free. Why would you go back to Gath when you're afraid, when you're running, when you don't know what God's doing? Sometimes you just got to sit down and wait. Are you hearing me this morning, church? I love you in Jesus. God delivered David from his foolishness. God delivered him from his powerlessness. Look, he's like a dove. He's like a dove in the hands of an enemy. What a pitiful thing. And so we read these words in 1 Samuel. Third, God delivered him from fear. So look at these words. 1 Samuel, I have them on the screen for you if you have your Bible, your copy of God's Word. 1 Samuel 21:11. So David arose and he fled from Saul and he went to Achish, king of Gath. Now notice, but the servants of Achish, the servants of the king said, is this not David, listen, the king of the land? Oh, they already knew about this. They already knew about David. David's the one who killed Goliath, their great champion. He'd already whipped their champion. Is not this David the king of the land? The point is, what in the world is David doing here? Did not they sing of this one as they danced? I don't know any of you in here got a song written for you, but David did. Here it is. Saul has slain his thousands. David, his 10,000s. And then I want you to read these sad, pitiful words. David, we're talking about the one who killed Goliath. The one who talked about how God would deliver the children of Israel, the nation of Israel, from the Philistines. The one who took those smooth stones and put them in his sling and knocked Goliath out. David, now we read these words. When you're in a foolish place, a bad place, and you've chosen to go back to Gath, and you're in bondage, and you've been seized again by the old ways, guess what comes back? David took these words to heart, and he greatly feared who? Not God. He feared the king of Gath. Oh, some of us in this room live in the tortured mind of fear. You wake up afraid. You go to lunch afraid. You go to dinner afraid. And you go to bed afraid. Fear controls every waking moment of your life. Fear has caused you physical problems. Fear has caused you relationship problems. Fear! Because we go back to Gath. Because we go back. Because we make up our own way rather than waiting and trusting God. So now, what do we learn? What do we learn from David's song? What is it that we come to understand when we've made foolish decisions, put ourselves back into bondage, and we're living in fear? Here's the good news. Let me get to it. This is the good news, Psalm 56. Somewhere along the way, David learned something very important that the broken and blessed person learns. Are you ready for it? Here it is. David learned, number four, David learned that God was on his side. Are you ready? All day long. Can anybody say amen? Now, let's talk about this for a minute on Mother's Day. It's going to be Mother's Day all day long. Aren't you mothers glad? That's right. It's your, like that guy on the video. I'll tell you right now, buddy. Your mother deserves a whole day because of you. All day long. Anybody in here ever had a bad all day? Don't raise your hand. I'm talking about it started in the morning and ended at night. You went to bed. It was all day bad day. Let's look what this, again, I'm just reading the Bible. We've seen this phrase before. First of all, let's don't talk about God being for us. Let's talk about the day. Everybody listen now. Don't drift on me. Stay with me. This is really important. When the Bible repeats a phrase more than one time, the Bible's trying to tell us something here. We're trying to learn something from God's Word. This is very important. Look in your Bible, verse 1. If not, you can see the points I've made on the screen. Be gracious to me, O God, for man has trampled upon me. Yeah, you go to Gath, you're going to get trampled. You go to Gath, you're going to feel it. Fighting all day long, he oppresses me. My foes have trampled upon me all day long. He goes down in verse 5. All day long they distort my words. Let me just say it a few times to really annoy you. All day long. How's that feeling to you? All day long. Tell your neighbor, turn to him right now. All day long. Do you feel it? All day long. It's just the grind. It's the pressure. It's the push. All day long. Is it ever going to go away? Well, you went to Gath. What did you expect to go to Gath and get? Something good? No, it's all day long. You hear what I'm saying today, church? If you do something foolish and you go back to Gath, you got it all day long. What are you going to do? Make another foolish decision? Lo and behold, what does David learn? What does a broken, blessed man learn? Verse 3. Something happened to David. We just left him in 1 Samuel. He heard the words of all the people of Gath. And he took them to heart and he was afraid. But now all of a sudden in the song of a broken and blessed man, something's changed. When I am afraid, wait a minute, here we go. Yeah, foolish decisions and bondage lead to fear. And man, I'm trapped in my fear. I cannot get out of it all day long. Listen to me, I'm about done. Listen. When I am afraid, listen to the song of the broken but blessed. When I am afraid, when I am afraid, I will put my trust in God. I will trust God when I am afraid. Even when I have made bad mistakes. Even when my foes are beating me down. Even when I'm being trampled every day, oppressed. Even when they take my words and distort my words, verse 5. And all of their thoughts for me are evil. Even when I've gone to that place and walked among the wicked, lived in the council of the wicked, and the paths of sinners, and those who are scorners, and I've chosen that path as a person of God, somebody born again, but I've gone back to Gath. Even when I'm in that condition, God is, verse 9, for me. God is for me. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is for me. Turn and tell them. Preach it to them. You hear that? God is for you. Romans 8:31. Paul couldn't help it. Romans 8:31. You remember what Romans 8:31 says? It's very important. Everybody in here, many of you who teach the Bible, many of you who preach, if God is for me, finish it. Who can be against me? Say it with me. If God is for me, who can be against me? Are you listening? You went back to Gath, but God is still with you. Now, you may not need to hear this today, but the preacher needs to hear this. This is why I'm talking out loud and you get to hear it. God is for me. Who can be against me? In fact, let's read it David's way. Look here. Verse 3. Stay with me. Boys and girls, listen. We're just about finished. When I am afraid, I will put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I have put my trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? Answer, nothing. Because I'm in the hands of God. Because God is for me. God's for us enough that He sent Jesus to die for our sins and that we might have life. Aren't you glad God's for us and He sent Jesus? God is for us enough that today, tomorrow, whenever it happens and you make that foolish decision again, you get in a panic, you don't wait on God, and you confess your sin. God is for us. You know what He does? He forgives us of our sin. That's what John the Apostle told us. If you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness for His name's sake. God's for you enough that when you're born again, He puts the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, starts to affect your brain, starts to affect your emotions, starts to affect your desires. You become a new person. You're not the same as you used to be. God's for you. He places the Holy Spirit in you. God is for you enough that He gives you this blessed book with all of these instructions and all these guidelines so that when we take this inside of us and read it, we have life. Let me tell you, when you eat the Word of God, you stay alive spiritually. It's what your mother told you. Sit down and eat your vegetables. You got to eat to stay alive. It'll keep you from going to Gath. Why am I saying all this to you today? I love you in Jesus. Folks, listen to me. Some of you are going back. You're in a panic. You don't know what God's doing in your life. You don't know what to do. So you know what you're going to do? Make something up. Don't do that. Just wait. Just wait. And the last thing we see are these wonderful lessons of broken and blessed people. You know what? I don't have the time. But there's so many wonderful things to see here. Look at this. God always knows where I'm at in my brokenness. Listen to verse 8. It's astounding. You have taken account of my wanderings. You have put my tears. Listen, you have put my tears in your bottle. Saved every one of those tears. Anybody in here ever cried tears because of your sadness and your wandering away from God and your brokenness and bitterness of life, the sadness of life, the tears that flow? You have taken my tears and you've put them in a bottle. Every last one of those sad days of wandering, they're in a bottle and you've written them in the book. God doesn't forget all of your wanderings. Are you listening to me today? God doesn't forget some of you and the brokenness that happened in your marriages, in relationships, in a friendship, in some situation of your life. God doesn't forget. He knows about your wanderings. He knows. What David is trying to say is this: God knows about your brokenness. He understands your brokenness. It's a sacred and special thing between you and God that He knows what you... That's why we read the wonderful words in the New Testament about Jesus Christ, our wonderful high priest. Listen, He can sympathize with the feeling of our weakness. See, this is it. This is it. God knows where you are in your wanderings. God is for you. He hasn't abandoned you. Sometimes people come to me and say, Pastor Mike, God can't be with me after what I've done. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Who are you to say what God can do? God will come close to you. Friend, I started this talk by saying, and I'll say it again, your most hopeless moment can become a change in the direction of your life. That's what David's saying to us here. When I am afraid, I will trust God. You see, the Lord's the one, verse 13, who delivers my soul from death. The Lord is the one who keeps me from stumbling. Oh, sign me up for that. I'm the one that keeps coming up with these ideas about how to help God. No, when I do that, I get off the path and I stumble. I go back to Gath. But what I learn here, Psalm 56:13, here's the good news of victory. God saves my soul from destruction, keeps my feet from stumbling for one reason. Here's what the broken, blessed person understands. Are you listening? Here it is. That I can walk before God in the light of the living. So come out of the shadows, my friend. Get out of Gath. There's nothing in Gath that's good for you. It's going to bind and tie you up. It's the way the title of the psalm reads so powerfully, when the Philistines seized David in Gath. So today we finish by remembering David's wonderful words. Even when I make foolish choices, God is for me. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you for listening. So perhaps you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior. The Bible says that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. That's where things start in your spiritual life. That's the way it begins. Repenting of sin and confessing Jesus as Lord. That means Lord of your life. Look, all the problems, all the difficulties, all the adversity, all the things that are going on, you confess Jesus as Lord. And you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, the Bible says you'll be saved. Some of you in this room today, the most important decision in your life is to be born again, to come to know Jesus in the full forgiveness of sin and to experience the power of God in your life. Friend, why would you live? Look, you're living in the world of bondage. Jesus will set you free. Why would you not want to be free? You got to come to Jesus on His terms. So we invite you to do that. Sometimes the most important thing is to make that choice. But look, we don't make it a secret thing. We stand to our feet. We sing together. And publicly, we invite people to come down in front of all these people and say, I'm ready to follow Jesus. So yeah, that's right. You got to swallow your pride. You got to humble yourself. You got to step out and say, I am confessing Jesus before the world. Some of you need to join this church. God has sent you to this place. You know it's important for you to put your time, your abilities, your gifts in a place to be used by God. That's what we're trying to do here, trying to follow Jesus, love other people like Jesus, and tell the world. That's what we do here. If God's put that on your heart, even on Mother's Day, we invite you to do it. Let's stand together. We're going to sing this old hymn. This phrase, it's our prayer for today, move me closer. I hope you make it your prayer today. Come down here, see one of our pastors, and let us help you. Let's sing together. Steve's going to lead us. Come on, just for a moment.
Move
come on.
Me closer.
Balcony or below, you need to come. Come on.
Move me closer.
Come on, if you need to come.
Move me closer.
Anybody in the house?
To the Christ.
It's time to move.
Let me see.
Time to move.
Him. Let me hold.
Sing again. We're going to sing again. Come on. Do you need to come?
Move me closer. Move me closer. Move me closer to the cross. Let me see Him. See His nail-pierced hands. Move me closer to the cross.
Would you bow your heads, please? Every head bowed, just for a moment. Thank you for your patience. Every head bowed, every eye closed. All right. We said, move me closer. You wandered off to Gath. Are you there in fear? Are you there in bondage? You made some bad choices. Time to come back. You wandered away. Come back. Steve's going to sing with our heads bowed. We're going to wait just another moment. Come on, if you need to come. So now, Lord, we thank you for the words of our friend David. We thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you, Lord, for teaching us today the importance, the lesson of a broken and blessed one, that you are for us. Lord, bless these wonderful people who are here today, every mother who's here, every lady who's here. Bless them all, and may this be a special day to them. As we honor mothers, we thank you that they teach us much about love, and love for one another, and the love of God for us. So, Lord, we commit this time to you and what we've heard, and we ask that you might teach us to move closer, to step forward, and allow you to draw us back by your love and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Great to see you. Wait a minute, don't leave, don't leave. We're going to read Scripture together. There's no services tonight. And my, don't you mothers look beautiful today. God bless you.
Let's say it together. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.